This is Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. The Flint water crisis is complicated, and more details are being revealed nearly every day. We're about to talk to a man who has lived it from the beginning. Dane Walling was mayor of Flint from 2009 to 2015. That's the period of time when crucial decisions were made. So, look, there might be a dozen people who really actually understand the bulk of the details, the twists and the turns, and I don't claim to be one of them, so I want to keep this as simple as possible. I want to do it in kind of a chronological order. Flint had been getting its water from Detroit for decades, so why in March of 2013 did the city council and you vote to join this new effort to build a pipeline from Lake Huron that was proposed by the Carignandi. Is that right?
Yes, the Carignandi Water Authority.
Why make that decision?
Yeah, that was something that myself and city council had been considering for a couple of years, even prior to the governor's appointment of an emergency manager. The city had been extending their contract with the Detroit system each year. The long-term contract had run out 8 or 9 years ago, so the city had to make a decision about its long-term water supply. All of the options were considered, including looking at using the Flint River long term. That option was discarded because it didn't have the volume, the costs of the dams, and everything that would be needed just wasn't feasible. So it came down to a decision between signing a new contract with the Detroit Water System or starting a new contract with the Carignandi or KWA pipeline that would also bring lake water from Lake Huron to Flint and Genesee County.
And this thing hadn't been built yet.
It had not been built yet. The city had been part of incorporating the authority, so we were at the table. And the two systems have very different models. The Carignandi model is a more cooperative base. Each community pays its share of the bond financing to pay for the project. The water out of the lake is, of course, free. And then each community would treat its own water for its customers. The Detroit model is quite different. There's a distance and elevation cost built into their system.
Sure, you have to build a lot of pumps to get water from Detroit to Flint.
Right, and that's true with most utilities, but normally customers all pay the same rate. When you pay your utility bill for electricity, you're paying the same cost, but that's not true of Detroit Water. The farther you are from their service center, the more you pay. So Flint and Genesee County had experienced huge increases in rates.
Well, that explains why Ypsilanti, for example, pays about a third of what Flint residents pay for the same water from Detroit.
Yeah, and that's important to understand because without that, you don't see why a new pipeline may be cheaper. But it was. Lake Huron water coming to the community from both systems, but the Carignandi system was determined to be a few $100 million cheaper. That was the recommendation that emergency financial manager Ed Kurtz brought to myself and city council. But we need to be clear that it was DEQ Director Dan Wyant, State Treasurer Andy Dillon, and Governor Snyder who made that final decision.
The governor's office has released emails from 2014 and 2015 regarding the Flint water situation, but much of the negotiation, as we just revealed here, was about the switch from Detroit Water to the KWA. That happened in 2013. What were the folks at the Treasury and at the governor's office communicating to you about why they supported this Detroit Water switch to KWA? Is it just the money?
The cost was definitely a consideration. The fact that it was coming from Lake Huron, there was a regional project for mid-Michigan that could have other benefits for agriculture and advanced manufacturing. So there were a number of reasons why the KWA was a viable option. But you started by asking about the governor's emails. And I have a real problem with this, too, because in the state of the state, the governor starts the Flint water story with March of 2013, leaves out the fact that the emergency manager was the one who brought the recommendation to myself and city council, and then has also not released his emails.
For that year, 2013.
What's happening in 2013 that we can't know about? Why is our governor withholding his correspondence about the KWA, and is there anything in there about the Flint River? Because that's not what we were hearing locally.
I obtained an email from Bill Johnson, PR, that indicated Detroit offered a deal that it claimed would actually be cheaper than the KWA, and it was refused. Can you explain that? Why did that happen?
There were multiple correspondences from the DWSD system, and the numbers never added up for the city of Flint. There were often indications on what the rates would be in year one. But as everyone who's a Detroit Water customer knows, what you're paying next year is not guaranteed. It has to pay for itself. The costs of the system have to be made up by customers. You've seen rises in the last year because of necessary expenditures. So the KWA was not only cooperative, but it was also a fixed 30-year rate based on the cost of the pipeline and the financing, whereas the Detroit system was, here's our estimate of what you'll pay based on year one, but we can't tell you anything about year two through 30.
In June 2013, emergency manager Ed Kurtz hires an engineering company to plan the switch to the Flint River because A, renewing a contract with Detroit wasn't being pursued, and B, the KWA pipeline wasn't going to be completed for a few years. I'm wondering why that engineering company didn't see problems with the raw water from Flint River. It seems to me that testing for the pH balance or how corrosive the water might be would be part of any engineering plan to switch to using the water.
And this is the worst aspect of the emergency financial managers. At the time you're talking about, those purchasing resolutions weren't going before the public. They weren't on a city council agenda for comment. I didn't find out about it until after the fact. You have no ongoing scrutiny. I'm not getting a report from the Director of Public Works. So I have questions just like you do and many other people do. What I've seen in the email correspondence that's been released from the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality personnel is that those discussions did take place about corrosion control with Flint employees, with the EPA, and the Department of Environmental Quality resisted that input and said, Flint has to go through these rounds of testing in the household pipes to show that there's an elevated lead level before the corrosion control. It's completely backwards.
That's not what the US EPA requires of state agencies who take care of things like this.
And I think that's why you're seeing so much problem between those two agencies right now. And the emails show that as far back as February of 2015, when questions were first asked internally, and I'm finding out about this, you know, almost a year later, that it wasn't required by the Department of Environmental Quality. And don't forget that the Department of Environmental Quality director reports to the governor and Flint's emergency manager reports to the governor. So the state's on both sides of this. You don't have a local state check and balance. You have a local government controlled by an emergency financial manager, and you have a state department.
I want to hone down on the operators. These are people who have to be licensed, have to be certified, they have to have continuing education. They are the people making the decisions on how to treat the water. The DEQ is a regulator. These guys, within the law, have the responsibility to make sure that the water is clean and safe. DEQ is a regulator. They can come in and say, hey, you're out of compliance, but it's up to the operators to make sure that the water is safe and clean.
And that's not what was happening in this case, as I see in retrospect with the emails and the admissions of staff. This was a unique and tragic situation where the state was running both the local and the state agency as if it were one.
So you're telling me you believe the DEQ was instructing the operators to do something other than what they would have been responsible for, and that is making sure the water's safe.
That's my understanding, is that it was co-designed, that it was city staff and consultants and DEQ personnel sitting together, making decisions about how it would be treated, the city's overall treatment design, and very, very tragically, because now tens, hundreds of thousands of people have been put at risk, and the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality admitted in October that they didn't properly regulate the Safe Drinking Water Act, the lead and copper rule, and Flint's kids and families and customers are all now paying for that.
Let's go back to City Hall. In April of 2014, Flint's water source switched to the Flint River. In June, Michigan Radio's Steve Carmody was at City Hall covering a meeting. It was reporting residents were showing up, complaining about the odor, the taste. They had jugs of brownish-colored water. Days later, there was a boil water order because of E. coli contamination. How did you, the emergency manager, or the people operating the water purification plant, not realize these problems might be symptomatic of something larger?
That was what was missed. In my role as mayor, I wasn't getting a report from the Director of Public Works. I was on just the receiving end of the same public information that everyone else was getting. The water was meeting the standards. It was being regulated the same way as the rest of the water in Michigan. And because of some issues with high chlorination and main breaks, that there were a variety of different problems across the system. I look back on that and I'm just, you know, so angry with how it was handled and the
and
information.
You defended what was going on at the time. I mean, you said, I drink the water every day.
And I was.
How do you feel about that now?
Well, it's humiliating. I was told, and our public was told time and time again, that the water was meeting the standards. It was being treated like the rest of the water. I was trying to check with the EPA, and I was getting the same company line. And it wasn't until we had independent academic expertise out of their own time and money investigating the situation. My faith in our state government, my faith in even the federal regulators has really been shaken by this, because I did do all those things that you did. And my family and I, we were drinking the water. I wasn't saying that as a PR line. I was telling the truth based on everything that I knew. And when it was found that children in our community were poisoned by lead, and a couple weeks later, the director of the Environmental Quality Department admits that it wasn't regulated right from the very beginning where you started this interview. It's just, it's been so hard and so humiliating, and it's frustrating to me that more has not been done.
Let's talk about what should be done. First of all, we've touched on this. The governor's released 2014 and 2015 emails. Do you think he should release the 2013 emails?
Yes, this is about broken trust, and you can't rebuild trust if people don't yet know what happened in 2013. I need to know. I want to know. I'm a resident. I'm a taxpayer in Flint. I'm raising my two sons there. I want to know, what did the governor know? What did the Department of Environmental Quality know? How did this happen?
The $28 million has been approved. That's going to be a drop in the bucket. There are something like 15,000 lead lines. And when we say lead lines, we mean basically a 3/4-inch pipe that goes from the cast iron main to the house. I had a pipe from the street to my house replaced a couple of years ago, and it cost $3,000. So we're talking about 15,000 times 3,000. That's, you know, a big chunk of change. Where's that money going to come from? How are we going to fix this problem? And sometimes changing out the lead pipe isn't the best solution.
It is going to take hundreds of millions of dollars to start to make this right. And that needs to be happening now, not at some distant point in the future when everyone's given up hope. There need to be lead service lines that do start to be replaced. You need to replace the whole line. If you're going to do it, you do the whole thing.
Right.
So it's going to be $3,000-$4,000 a house. Those could be being done now. I mean, I'm very disappointed that the governor found time to hire PR firms but hasn't put money into replacing lead pipes, especially for the houses that we know children have been lead poisoned.
In the interim, there's been an effort to go house to house, hand out filters, hand out bottled water.
And that's important. And the community has been just so supportive, and all the local organizations. I can't say enough about what they've done.
But there's concern that, for example, illegal immigrants aren't opening the door to people offering filters and water. I was really kind of shocked to hear a local merchant, a restaurant owner, who clearly didn't understand until just a few days ago what the problem was or how it might have been corrected with the using phosphates as an anti-corrosion agent. It seems to me that there might be a lot of people in Flint, including those who don't speak English well, who don't understand what's going on and if the water's not safe to drink.
There's so much fear and so much confusion right now. And, you know, it's been bad information. It's been bad water. The county declared a public health emergency in October. And here we are in January, talking about people finally going door to door in a coordinated fashion. Our community was calling for those things last fall. We're already months and months behind. It should have never happened in the first place, but there need to be many more resources put forward, and the door has to be open. If a family needs two or three cases of water, they need to be able to take them. If a family that doesn't have, you know, someone with a driver's license, there needs to be a church or a partner that has plenty enough water for the family to have their basic needs met. We shouldn't even be having to have this conversation.
There are a number of people that say there are a lot of lessons learned from Flint. The fact that, you know, lead poisoning is still a problem has been missed by a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And that goes for lead-based paint in houses, which is a real problem in this state. But a lot of people have been saying the real lesson here is you don't let the state put in an emergency manager, taking away the elected official's authority in a city or a county or anywhere else. You experienced it. You lived it. Does that ring true to you, or do you think that emergency managers serve their purpose by getting a city or municipality back on their feet again?
It's the wrong approach, and Michigan voters were right when they rejected Public Act 4, and the legislature, the Republicans, because it was a straight-line party vote, and the governor were wrong to come right back with Public Act 436, which was the same thing with a so-called option for local communities.
And then adding an appropriation to it so that you can't.
It couldn't go back before the voters. The Michigan public is right. You need to have accountability and transparency at all levels. And when you have a mayor and a council not getting information, not having regular meetings where items are on agendas and citizens can come and comment and people with their own expertise and perspectives, when you take all of that away, then you're creating an environment where things can much more easily go terribly wrong. You don't have that local state check and balance because everyone reports to the same person.
Final question. What, if anything, would you change?
I would go back to City Council and I expressing our support for the Carignani pipeline. And it was right that we did that. But the steps that were then taken to switch to the Flint River, which was never part of the discussion in March of 2013.
Despite repeatedly people saying Flint decided to go.
All the projections showed the city of Flint paying Detroit for water in 2014, 2015, 2016, until the new pipeline was ready. That was the right step. But then after that, it was stumble after stumble. The city should have never gone to the river. The concerns that I had and many, many others, I double-checked them, I triple-checked them. We needed to check more. We needed more expertise in 2013 as opposed to 2015. I'm so thankful for those in our community who just kept fighting, researching, and looking for resources. And what they did was heroic. And now we need to see a real commitment from, you know, I say the governor, but this whole state, to make this right, to give, you know, our kids in Flint the same kind of opportunities that families expect all across this state. And that's going to mean some extra support for their education and their health and their nutrition. And the pipes have to get fixed. And I hope when those requests come to the legislature, they get funded and they don't get caught up in budget battles and debates of years past. And Flint's again left on its own and in worse shape.
Dane Walling is former mayor of Flint. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Lester.